Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this Sunday morning, Lord God. What a wonderful day that you've prepared for us. Lord God, a day of us setting aside some time to look to you and to receive from you, to be blessed by you, to be filled with your Holy Spirit, and that you would remind us of these very, very important truths, Lord Jesus, to construct our lives around. We really love you and praise you, Jesus, here in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to start. I'm still in 2 Kings in chapter 4. We're just kind of moving along to the next little story there, just because I'm a little bit... I'm just enjoying the study of it myself, honestly. And so 2 Kings chapter 4, I'm going to read, first of all, from verse 38 down through 41. This is after, remember last week we talked about how the child was raised from the dead and how these books are given to us. They truly happened, but they have a prophetic imprint. And prophetically, they're looking forward to Jesus. So when we read these stories, we're really looking for signs of what really is yet to come and to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all things for us. And so even the Old Testament, even though it's before Jesus, there are these images and impressions where we clearly see that God is saying something to us before Jesus comes. Does that make sense? So it says, and Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets. So one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it a lap full of wild gourds and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were, what those gourds were. And then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened as they were eating the stew that they cried out and said, man of God, there is death in the pot. And so they could not eat it. So he said, then bring me some flour. And he put it into the pot. He put some flour into the pot and said, serve it to the people that they may eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Right? You really need that in your Bible, don't you? Like, what in the world? But it's just one of those beautiful sort of foreshadows, just a glimpse of something that's yet to come, spoken in a different way, through different actions, but really revealing to us very profound truths. So first of all, there was a famine in the land. And I would offer to you without... without taking too long, that we have a famine in our land. The famine is the sickness of sin. We're a sin-sick society in a sin-sick world. You know, we can't come from a Western civilization. That I would offer to you in a few decades earlier, maybe not decades, maybe centuries earlier. There was a lot more good to be said about the influence of Christianity in this society. Not that there weren't always bad people, sinful people even in the church, sinful people everywhere. But we are really at a place where it feels like the evil in the world is advancing. Folks, there's a famine in our land. I want you to know there's a famine in our land. And when that anger boils over you because you become so frustrated with the famine in the world around us and you know you have such little control over any of it, know that this is what happens when people hunger for righteousness. There's a famine in the land. So there's a lack of authority of righteousness. Righteousness does not have authority. Dallas Willard, my new friend who I've been reading, he says the greatest issue facing the world today with all its heartbreaking needs is whether those who, by profession or culture, are identified as Christians, if they will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of the heavens into every corner of human existence. How to live like Jesus, how to emulate Jesus Christ.
Hello, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to stop in real quick and thank you for listening to On Fire Radio today. Did you know that On Fire Radio is broadcasted weekly for free because of generous donations given by people like you? If you would like to financially support the work of On Fire Radio, broadcasting the Word of God throughout Delaware County and all over the world through our online platforms, you can give online at www.cmcconline.org. We here at Catskill Mountain Christian Center believe that if you sow into God's kingdom, He will reward you abundantly. Thank you so much for considering giving to this ministry. You can also find out more information about Catskill Mountain Christian Center and all of our other ministries by visiting our website www.cmcconline.org or by visiting us on Facebook by searching Catskill Mountain Christian Center. Make sure you like the page and check for updates. Now let's go back to Pastor Bob and this week's message.
Last night, Nancy and I went to the Albany Symphony Orchestra at the Palace Theater in Albany, and they had a night of George Gershwin music. It was called Gershwin Immersion. And it was a lot of fun, and the pianist, his name is Kevin Cole, I think he's a Grammy Award-winning pianist. It was magnificent. I'm not a big jazz guy, but George Gershwin was kind of early on in the curve. And what struck me about it is how, you know, we tried to count a couple of times because Nancy and I are counters. So I'm like, Nancy, how many people are in this auditorium? Right? She said, I think about 8,000. And we looked it up on Wikipedia and it was like 2,600 or something. I said, man, how many people in that orchestra? But it was pretty close to 100. Listen, there was pretty close to 100 people, each playing different instruments, making one glorious sound. Think about it. There's an oboe player, there's a cello player, there's a pianist, there's a lady on a harp. There's guys that play, you just want to be the guy who plays the kettle drum, right, the timpani. I mean, a guy like me, that's my dream in life. Hit a big old drum like that, watching the music very carefully. Boom! That's his job. He gets a paycheck for that. I love that. But I just wanted to play. This is Rhapsody in Blue, which is everybody's, almost everybody's favorite Gershwin, right? And it's really the reason I went there last night. But I'm just going to, 30 seconds or so. Now I'm going to fade out. Hey. I faded because I didn't want to be rude and just cut it off. I would offer to you that a church is supposed to be an orchestra. I would offer to you that everybody has been given. I'm going to share some scripture that shows that everyone in God's kingdom has been given unique gifts and talents. And if we all came to the place where we discovered those gifts and talents and we became expert in those gifts and talents, because I'm going to tell you something, we have a beautiful, beautiful string group here with our school kids, our academy kids. But none of those kids were playing in Albany last night. You understand that there's expected in your life to be a development of your gifts in God. There's expected to be a development in who you are. That you're supposed to become a master craftsman, musician, in the things that God has given to you as gifts and talents, spiritual gifts and talents. You follow? Listen, folks, we're not pew warmers. We're doers. Always have been doers. Since we were in Dunraven in 1991, we've been doers. We've been building things. We've been trying things. We've been experimenting. We've been trying to move forward with everything that we have. That's what a church is. And you know, when a church begins to lose that desire for the creative presence of God is when people start fussing with each other. They get bored, they start fussing, they start looking at what somebody else is wearing instead of caring about what their own heart is wearing. Yeah? So, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 1, as Jesus is preparing his disciples after Jesus is raised from the dead, it says in Acts 1 from verse 4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. He said, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. He didn't say, okay, guys, now go. Jerusalem, Samaria, the ends of the earth, go. He said, you can't even go. You are not equipped to go until you receive power from the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the day of Pentecost today, the day the power of God came upon the church. You see, there's something more to you than just you. Your talents, your gifts, your intelligence. There's the Holy Spirit who indwells you. The Bible says you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so now it's incumbent upon you through the word and through prayer to make sure that Jesus is developed inside of you and his power can flow through you. Are you with me? In Acts chapter 2, I'm going to follow very quickly a progression here. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, okay, so this is 50 days. This was a Jewish holiday. It was 50 days after the resurrection. But the day of Pentecost, where we get Pentagon, right, 5, it means 50 days. Day of Pentecost had fully come. They were with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire. One sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? I skipped a couple of verses there just for brevity. Because they run out on the street and they're speaking these languages and people are hearing them, some of them speaking in their same languages. But listen to this. I want you to hear this. Verse 13 of that, it says, others mocked. Some people say, we're hearing these people speaking our own languages. What could this mean? Right? It says, others mocked, saying, they're full of new wine. And I want to say this to you. Mockers never understand the kingdom. Mockers never understand the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:6 says this, for Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So as your Christianity grows, as you grow in your Christianity, your faith is supposed to increase, but also your love is supposed to increase. And the Bible says we can have all faith as to remove mountains, and if we don't have love, it means nothing. You're fake, you're fraud, you're a phony, you got a religion. If your love and your care and your concern is not growing, but we never, ever stop pressing in to love. To love. Yes? So then Romans 12, and I did sort of that to get to these 5 minutes to talk about the orchestra and how I was wondering if the oboe player knew the cellist or not. Ever even met the person. But they were both reading from the same score. They had different parts, but it was the same score. And when it came together, you just heard it. You have people who are not even really related with each other. Over 100 people, maybe, all not making one beautiful sound to the leading of the conductor, our Jesus, the conductor, so that we can be working together and making beautiful Holy Ghost music. Follow? Romans 12, 6-8 says this, having gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us. So what is he saying? He's saying that we're all different. You have different gifts. You do have gifts. You definitely have gifts. You know, and we are such a negative generation. If you don't sing like some, like Beyonce person, you know, I'm no good. You know, I'm not the king of the hill. I'm not this. I don't like myself. I've got some bad self-attitude. I've got this or that. Or the other side of that coin is having so much pride that people can't stand to be around you. Right? So, we have both excesses, and somewhere in there is where Jesus, there's a sweet spot there, yeah? Where we recognize we're God's children. We're saved by his grace. We have very, very much purpose. But we also have an inclination to sometimes do what's not right. And we always have to be resistant of that inclination. Yeah? He says, then having gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. Let us use them. Let us use them. Let us use them 1,000,000 times. Let us use them. Let us use them. Get to work. I have jobs for you. This is the God company. I don't know if you know that or not. This is the God Corporation, started 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. This is God Incorporated. I crack myself up. So he says, these are some of the gifts. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If ministry, the word ministry there is diakonia. It's where we get the word deacon from, and it means an attendant. Maybe God has called you to be an attendant. Are you disappointed at that? Is that a disappointment to you that you're called to be an attendant? That you're not called to be the Pope of New Guinea or something? I don't know what. Right? Maybe you're called to be an attendant, a worker, a server, servant. Stephen, who was a mighty man of God in word and deed, was stoned to death for his faith. He was a deacon. He was the first deacon in the Bible. He was so powerful in his faith that they killed him. They couldn't stand the words that were coming out of his mouth because he was telling them how Jesus Christ came. He said, ministry, let us use in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation. What's exhortation? Be a coach to somebody. Exhort somebody. Grab them by the lapel and say, you can do it. You can do it. You're going to make it through. You're going to make it. You can do it. That's an exhorter. I hear the coach say, hey, Lord. You know what happened? There was a thing in football called a trap play. And I got caught in the trap play. I was on defense. And the guy who's right in front of you, who's supposed to block you, steps out of the way. And so my pea brain, which football players are known for their giant intellect, right, says, hey, I have an open alleyway to tackle the quarterback or the runner. And I take that express train, but it's a trap play because a guy from the other side of the line is running down the back of the line waiting for me to cross over so he can wipe me out and the runner can scoot up the field. I was so mad, I got up and I ran the runner down. Now, he gained about 40 yards, but I ran him down and I tackled him. And after I tackled him, I made the mistake of celebrating. I was like, yeah! And the coach is like, Englehart, what are you jumping up and down for? We just lost 40 yards! Oh my gosh. He exhorted me. That was a little exhortation. It says, he who gives with liberality. He who gives, if you have the gift of giving, give with liberality. He who leads with diligence. One of the greatest responsibilities is leading. Not to be a creep of an overbearing leader and not to fail to lead and try to think that you're going to friend everybody into obeying you. That's just gave you that for free. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Listen, I got to stop. 1 Corinthians 12 shows different gifts of the Holy Spirit. So that was Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter 4, and Ephesians chapter 4. Says God has given the gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to the church for the equipping of the church for the work of the ministry. God has given many gifts. You have some of those gifts. And I, in God's stead for you today, encourage you to not be content, but to continue to move forward in developing your gifts, using your gifts, being a blessing so that we can become a symphony. Yeah? Pardon me? I'm to remind you that there's a women's meeting tonight here, in this here, or over there, here, in this very room at 6 o'clock tonight, there's a women's meeting. Please, ladies, come on out. It'll be wonderful. So, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you so much for our church family. Let us grow and grow and grow and grow and become a symphony, Father, that we could play Rhapsody in Blue, the Jesus version. Each playing our own instrument, each in our own giftedness, Father, representing you, making one beautiful noise as a church community, as individuals, and as a community collective. We love you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you all. Have a wonderful day.
Hello, my name is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio, God's Orchestra, playing your part. Pastor Bob shared from Romans 12, verses 3 through 6. That passage of scripture reads, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." Pastor shared that just as an orchestra has many musicians playing many different instruments, they are reading the same score of music, performing a beautiful masterpiece. Just as we in the church serve differently, in different ministries, in different spaces, with different giftings, we work together playing the master's piece, serving the kingdom of God with our score, the word of God. Sometimes it's tough to think that we have giftings, but I would offer to you that God has gifted you differently and specifically for the call of God that's on your life. If you don't know what those giftings are, or if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. My sin has separated me from you. Jesus, I believe that you lived and died and rose again victorious over death. I repent from my sin today and place my faith in you, Jesus. I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit now. Jesus, I thank you for dying on a cross so that I can spend eternity with you. Father, I thank you for you sending Jesus as a sacrifice for my sins. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me today, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church, we would love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you weekly on the radio and online for free because of donations and partners like you. If you would like to financially support the work of On Fire Radio and Catskill Mountain Christian Center, you can give online at www.cmcconline.org. Again, that's www.cmcconline.org. You can also find us on Facebook by searching Catskill Mountain Christian Center. Make sure to like the page, share our events, and don't forget to tune in for our Sunday morning live and Wednesday night live videos. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.